Dyer's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Dyer's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 7, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. If you haven't made this choice tonight, then you need to make it, please. Time is short, and it doesn't matter whether you think maybe it's the end of the world or what. You can walk out and get splattered by a car, so to speak, and then where would you be? Because you have to make the commitment to Yeshua before you die. Anyway, did you hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed its warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, again, I pray you make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact for information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, let's thank our listener base. We love you people. That is, it's worldwide in places like Latakia, Syria. I know I blundered that really bad, didn't I? Espoo, Finland, Winnipeg, Canada, Dublin, Ireland, Hyderabad, or India. And, of course, places in good old USA such as Austin, Texas, Oakland, California, New Orleans, Louisiana, Boston, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C., which Washington, D.C. keeps running a race to be the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcasts later tonight. The larger group of listeners is Wichita, Kansas. Now, a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. We've got a really good program for you. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I lift up this country. I lift up Israel tonight. I pray for the peace of Israel. I know that we're in a prophetic time, Father, and I just thank you for the blessing of Donald Trump. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there's ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, and your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. He's a U.S. Army retired. He has a regular broadcast partner on the Prophecy Today radio broadcast. Colonel McGinnis is an experienced and internationally known expert on national security and foreign affairs. He currently serves as a national security and foreign affairs analyst for Moody Broadcasting Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, and is a regular guest on several other radio networks. He recently completed a year as Fox News military analyst, and that's where I saw him first. He's a senior systems analyst with BCP International Limited and Alexandria VA-based company, where his primary duties involve working on multi-international programs for the Department of the Army. Colonel McGinnis has been a member of the Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's military analyst group. In the last 8 months of his military service, he was a member of the Army Studies group examining the homosexual ban. Now, folks, this list really goes on and on and on, and he has so many accomplishments. Colonel McGinnis received a B.S. from the United States Military Academy, West Point, New York in 1973, and an M.S. from the Naval Postgraduate School, California in 1983. He is a graduate of many military schools, including the Command and General Staff College and the U.S. Army's War College Strategy Course. Well, he's also the author of what we're going to talk to him about tonight. Lieutenant Colonel is the author of the new book, The Deeper State, Inside the War on Trump by Corrupt Elites, Secret Societies, and the Builders of an Intimate Final Empire. So now welcome Lieutenant Colonel Robert L. McGinnis. Are you there with me?
I am. Thank you for having me, Pastor.
Well, it's a blessing to have you. And first, I want to say, of course, thank you for your service. And my goodness, my brother, you have a very long list of credentials.
I think, Pastor, if you live long enough, you get a lot of things. And that's I'm getting older every day.
Yeah, absolutely. We was just talking recently tonight about how time, when you get a little bit older, it just seems to slip by. But the book, now, the other night, we're going to talk about this book, and we'll start it off like this. You know, the day before, Tuesday night, I was in a gym, and I was talking to a fellow, and I brought, you know, your name up. And this fellow was 6 years older than me, and he said he had heard your name, but he didn't know what the deep state is. And I said, really, you don't understand what that term says means? And he said, no, not at all. And so for that, for the people, let's start off with that. What does the term the deep state mean?
Well, in the book, The Deeper State, I talk about three levels of the deep state. The first level, you know, happens to be the kind of the political authorities, those that we elect to government, and the government itself, the administration that serves at the beck and call of the president. So that's the first layer. The second layer are the lobbyists, the foreign countries that go in and try to persuade the lawmakers and the government bureaucracy. It's the secret societies out there, the academics, the very wealthy people of the world, the Rockefellers, the Soroses, and so forth. And the third layer are really the influencers of the first two, and they tend to be evil, and they tend to be, in many cases, demonic. And so that's how I divide it. Now, the idea of a deep state, Pastor, you know, it goes back to, you know, the 1920s, when you had a Turkish network under the secular leader Ataturk, who, you know, used clandestine activities to manipulate government to try to protect it from outside activities. They used assassinations, and they manipulated the press. They did all sorts of things. So it's kind of like the shadow government, but the way I look at it, it really is in the three layers that I've described.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. So let's go with this. Because the title of your book, which, by the way, I have in front of me, and I haven't completed reading it yet, but it's really an amazing work. But we're talking about President Trump. And now, a personal belief of mine is that if we just look out here and see all these people that are going crazy and all the hatred and everything, of course that comes from the main conspirator, which is the devil. But, you know, there's so many levels to this. This looks like almost a silent coup against the President of the United States. Am I wrong in that?
No, I think you could call it almost like a color revolution, like we saw in the Republic of Georgia and Ukraine, and even in certain countries like Egypt, where there was a lot of behind-the-scene activities to overthrow the legitimate government. And we've seen a bit of that. I would argue that, you know, Ed Klein, who worked for the New York Times Magazine, he wrote recently about how after the election of Donald Trump, you had, you know, the FBI went out to several bureaus, to include the Los Angeles, San Francisco, Detroit, New York, and they gathered information about, you know, these groups that were coalescing around the idea of trying to sabotage government activities once, you know, President Trump took over. And they said they had enough actionable intelligence against, you know, current government personnel to actually take action. They didn't. And, of course, this report went to James Comey, who, as everyone knows, was eventually fired. But these types of things are of grave concern. Then, of course, you know, I think everyone's heard of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, and who is funding a lot of this? It's the likes of, you know, deep-pocketed individuals like George Soros, a Hungarian who happens to, you know, like to create color revolutions and arguably has done that with some of these groups in the United States to undermine President Trump and, you know, really the populist uprising that we saw in this country. But you've also seen something very similar, you know, and I just came back from Europe this past week. Over there, certainly in Germany and France and the Netherlands and Austria and a couple of other countries. So people are beginning to get wise to the terrible things that these progressives, these globalists that I, you know, describe, you know, with great detail in the deeper state, are beginning to do to our world. And, of course, as you've indicated and I explained, you know, the real influence behind this is very demonic, very evil, and it has an agenda which is, I believe, ushering in the end times.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, we should expect to see something like this because, you know, we know what the Bible says, that, you know, the Antichrist is going to try or unite the world against Israel and against Christians. And that's what we are seeing. We're seeing such a, like here, even in America, you know, I never thought I would quite see the day where Christians could be arrested for having a Bible on a sidewalk and so on and so forth. But let's get back to this deep state thing. Now, is this an organized effort or maybe by higher up people using other people? Is there any kind of framework to this that you see, or totally unorganized?
Well, I label these people that are really behind it, the second layer, as progressives. You know, the Hillary Clintons of the real world, the Rockefellers, the Soroses, the Kissingers, and the like. And they do have a very clear agenda. Their agenda is New World Order, they want to merge capitalism and communism. They want population reduction. Just look at what Ted Turner has said of CNN, you know, wanting to reduce the world to between 300 and 500 million from its current 7.3 billion. They want to return to feudalism. Feudalism, in other words, they want to tell you and me exactly how to live, what we can eat, where we can live, what we can do. They want a planned society. And, of course, they want what they call a scientific dictatorship. In other words, only the elite, the people that they select, can run the, you know, these governments and these enterprises around the world. And of course, they're going to brainwash the masses using the media and using education. And I think in many cases they've done a fine job of that.
Yeah, amen. They have. And again, it goes back. President Trump's election, to me, is so revealing because these people that are all railing against him and all the different things coming out, it looks like they're in desperation. I mean, it looks like he stepped on somebody's foot, you know what I'm saying? Because it just exploded all over. They're globalists. Is that, that's more a proper common name for them?
Well, it is. You know, and globalism, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just about corporate expansion. You know, the giant corporations like Walmart or whatever around the world. If we think of free trade, you know, I can buy sushi in Kansas and I can buy, you know, American products in China. It's about instant communication, social media, you know, satellite, it broadcasts in the remotest places of the world. But really, the globalists are what I call a radical ideology. They're humanistic. They're very anti-Christian. You know, they want to replace the nation state with global government. That's where I came up with the one world government idea. And they really are fascist. They're Marxists in their ideology. A very sick group of people, but a very influential group. And if we trace back the history, we can go, you know, back certainly over 100 years to a German philosopher by the name of Hegel. And he influenced this progressive movement that continued to exist and really mushroomed under Woodrow Wilson, probably the worst president of the United States. And then Franklin Delano Roosevelt picked up the idea, created the New Deal, and then, of course, he created the United Nations, which many of us think is a demonic organization as it is. And then he goes, and we have the likes of the Jimmy Carters of the world and the Barack Obamas, all progressives that have sought, you know, great regulation, have sought right. giant government, and have robbed us of our national sovereignty, therefore open borders and for control and suppression of the people. And what bothers me as a Christian, they're very anti-Christian, and they, you know, and in fact they hate all religion, but especially Christians.
Yeah, absolutely, which would seem to be the point. Communism, to me, what they're, it looks like it's communism or what, Marxism. It doesn't that have, I mean, the principles are the same, are they not, almost?
Yeah, I would say, you know, Marxists are materialistic. They want social order. They want society to be operated by systems. They want to control distribution. The state is the heart of everything. And so they embrace this idea that the state is going to make life better every generation. It's ultimately going to lead us to utopia. Now, of course, that ignores what Scripture tells us about the heart of man and how evil we can be. Now, I'm not against government. I think Romans 13 is very clear that we as Christians must, you know, respect the government, but we need to recognize its function. God gave it the power to rule and to keep peace, but in the progressive way of viewing that, they want it to go far beyond, and they want it to rob us of our civil liberties, they want it to rob us of our national sovereignty. They want one world government, as I said moments ago. Not something that I think the average American really wants to embrace, but clearly here in Washington we have a lot of that thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I hate to go back to the same point, but, you know, I think the real nature of how connected these people are, even ones that claim to be, you know, conservatives or Republicans, their true nature seemed to come out when Donald Trump was elected. You know, it was like, you know what, you hit a beehive and here came all the bees. And that's just the scene. I've got a question for you that I didn't even plan on asking you, but I'm really, really curious, probably because I'm a pastor. But looking at your career that you've had, you know, you've been in the military and you know, you do some extraordinary things. What brought you to being such a Christian witness? That's important to me.
Well, I became a Christian as, you know, I accepted Christ as my Savior at age 16, but I didn't grow a lot until, you know, after I graduated from West Point and was in, you know, on the demilitarized zone in Korea, and, you know, really, you know, was moved by the Spirit of God to reach out to Him, and I just loved His Word, grew in it, and it was a time of trial. And I think we all go through a crucible in our lives that forms us into the people we become. And as a result of that, you know, I've lived a, you know, certainly not a perfect life, a sinful life, but a life of obedience and turning back to the Lord every opportunity, every day, recognizing who He is and who I am called to be. And so, you know, since I retired many years ago after being involved in the very contentious homosexual issue and writing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I spent a decade working for the Family Research Council on all these important family, faith, and freedom issues. And then I went back to the Pentagon, where I continue to work even to this day. And, of course, I write books on the side, and I continue to do a lot of media. But I do it from a Christian worldview perspective. And, of course, as you know, Pastor, there really aren't that many people in this world that really embrace the Christian worldview. You know, certainly Mr. Barna in California, who does surveys of Christians, said there's only about 3 or 4% of us that look at the world through a lens of the Bible. And I think that's so critical, and that's so much what's needed today. But yet, the progressives that I write about in the deeper state, and certainly the evil forces that are behind them, you know, just hate us, and they'll do everything they can to destroy us.
Yes, amen. And, you know, I appreciate you telling us that, because, you know, your past credential, the credentials that you have, hold such a strong witness for what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like you're just somebody that, I read a bunch of books on, now I'm going to write my own. You know, the things that you've been involved with, you saw during your career, clearly, didn't you?
Oh, yes. You know, you write about what you've seen. You know, yeah, I've seen evil up close and personal, and it's not comfortable. As I said publicly, and so I can say it certainly here, you know, years ago, my dear mother is passed on, but she worked as a personal assistant to a lady by the name of Jean Dixon. And Jean Dixon here in Washington, she was an astrologer. She was a person who would channel the likes of Eleanor Roosevelt for presidential wives. She was very much in the what I call the occultic world here in Washington. I've said on the record a number of times that I consider Washington the most evil place in the world, and that's because it's the most powerful capital in the world, and the people in the Washington are really captivated by their own personalities and their own power. And where there is great power, there is also great evil. And unfortunately, Washington is the center of that.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree. We get deeper into that. There's like all these people that we mentioned, like the Clintons and Soros and all these, we find that they are not only secret societies, but some of those societies is indeed about witchcraft. I think you mentioned that in your book. Well, brother, where should we point people for a website for you, because we're getting ready to go to break?
Well, Pastor, I have a Facebook site, and people are welcome to go on there. It's Robert L. McGinnis. It's M-A-G-I-N-N-I-S. And you can find, you know, my video presentations, certainly the blogs that I write every day. And, you know, I just came back from Europe, and some of the work I did over there and some of the work I do routinely in Washington. It's there, and there are other sites as well that have my name.
Okay, absolutely. I didn't know. Most people have one site they want to point to or another, but I know that if you Google your name, you come up with a lot of things. Well, brother, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We got to go to a break. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're in a holiday season, and I tell everybody out there that, you know, Hanukkah's coming next week, and, you know, a lot of us seem to see biblical evidence that Mary was, in fact, impregnated during Hanukkah as the light came into the world. Doesn't matter. Christmas is coming up. People saw a huge Christianity in general celebrates it as the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus Christ. So whatever you're celebrating, I just pray that you do it in the spirit of Yeshua. And right now, you know, there's a lot of people out there helping the poor and everything, and they do it. They come December and they jump in and do it. I just pray that they would do it all year long. But folks, for us, though, at the Wichita Mission Church, it's the lowest month for donations, and we exist on donations. We don't have any books we sell or anything else, and we only exist for the last 18 years over your kind donations. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church and pray about supporting Radio Airtime, because we here at Prophecy Hour Radio, we're only on the air because, again, we don't sell anything, so it comes from your donations that keep us on the air. So pray about it. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for Radio Airtime. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And again, just pray about it. Take it to prayer. And now we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis about his new book called The Deeper State: Inside the War on Trump by Corrupt Elites, Secret Societies, and the Builders of an Intimate Final Empire. Are you still with me there?
Oh, yes, I am, Pastor. It's my pleasure.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. And I'm trying to keep, you know, like I said, I've read almost all your book, but I'm trying to keep it a little more simple, just in the case that, you know, there's people out there that, you know, it's foreign to them that, you know, let's go with this. You know, I started in Bible prophecy, helping out another ministry clear back in about the middle 90s, or, you know, even earlier than that. And at that time, you know, he was having seminars all across the country with different speakers and everything, and much of that's going on today. But the people then, some of the things they used to care about and really got upset about was, you know, privacy. Like now, the country doesn't seem to be saying as much as they should when it comes to the NSA, you know, looking into everything. And in fact, I just got through talking with Pastor Carl Gallups, which I know that you know, on my last radio program earlier today, and he was pointing out to how the deep state, if you will, or the NSA and those people had the goods on a lot of congressmen and such. So this is really pretty much a tentacle beast, is it not?
Yeah, certainly. It's a frightening time, Pastor. We have machines that soak up all the signals in the air, that have cameras everywhere, and the idea that you can maintain any privacy in a cyber world is no longer the case. It is a frightening proposition. You know, I think all of us that do any banking, even online, are frightened that, you know, the cyber hackers may steal what we've been saving for our retirement. And these are frightening times because of that. You know, but these, the globalists that we're dealing with that are pushing the agenda to rob us of our privacy, to rob us of our national sovereignty, our identity, that want to manipulate us through a feudalistic approach. You know, I kind of characterize them, Pastor, you know, as cultists, Luciferians, and moral relativists. Now, I say that's kind of their belief system. And what do I mean by that? You know, you mentioned secret societies. Well, you know, occultism is keeping secrets, and there are a lot of secret societies that these globalists belong to. Even, you know, to the point that in 2016, before Mr. Trump was formally nominated, there was probably the world's largest secret society, especially among the globalists, is the Bilderberger group, formed in 1954. They've stood up presidents like Bill Clinton. They've certainly stood up Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama. They actually recruited these people. And this group is called the High Priest of Globalization. And who do they bring to their meetings? Their secret, very secret meetings. You know, the luminaries, the wealthy of the world. Now, why I mentioned the occult piece is because they're called the world's shadow government, because they actually make decisions in secret. And it's not a coincidence that back off the coast of Georgia, back in 2016, when they had their last meeting, you know, a friend that is no longer with us, you know, was reporting on who was there. And two of the luminaries that were there, interestingly, were the current Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader of the Senate. And one of the outcomes of that meeting was that they were going to oppose Trump as a presidential candidate. And this was before his official nomination. So these secret societies have been incredibly influential for well over 100 years. They are very influential today. They play what I call the second layer that I described earlier of this deeper state. Very, very pervasive, very rich, and they really want to control the world.
Yeah, the Bilderbergers, you know, I heard about them way back in the 90s, and way back, I feel like it makes me sound like I'm old. Anyway, back in the 90s, I heard, you know, about the Bilderbergers and the Rockefellers and how they were doing everything. And you know, but now the footer that we've got, the more years that have came since that, it's really pretty plain and out in the open, even to their own admissions, is it not?
Oh, it is. And, you know, certainly if you look at certain administrations and how they've been infected by these secret societies, certainly the Council on Foreign Relations, every single president since, really, I would say Woodrow Wilson, because it really formulated in New York City about the time of Woodrow Wilson. But when you look at FDR, you look at, you know, Harry Truman, you look at even Eisenhower and Kennedy and Barack Obama, and even a few of the members of the Trump administration or Council for Foreign Relations, they are very much, I would argue, against national sovereignty. They're into this big government, worldwide government, elimination of the national borders, the whole agenda that I outlined. And then, of course, you mentioned David Rockefeller, who, you know, died earlier this year. And David and his father and his grandfather, have charged forward on an agenda that, for instance, during David's early years, and early years, that's relative because he died at 103, I think it was.
Right.
He formed the Trilateral Commission, which, of course, you know, basically has hired people and flooded, you know, our government and try to influence European and Asian markets in a way that would enrich them, but, you know, was not necessarily in the best interest of the average American. So you have these, and I go into these secret organizations in a fairly comprehensive way in the deeper state, explain how they're controlled by globalists, and then how these globalists are using these to, you know, use this deep state phenomenon to manipulate the world in a way that fits their agenda. But of course, ultimately, though, behind the scenes and that third layer, there is a very demonic, you know, manipulation of these people themselves, and in many cases they don't even know that they're pawns in the hands of the evil one.
Right, absolutely. And in other cases, I believe that a lot of these same people actually do worship Satan. We've seen it too many times, and you know, even the mentioning of that, we clearly don't have time to go into tonight. Let's say this: you know, they have came so far, especially with Obama being, you know, the last president for the last 8 years. They came so far on their agenda, I can see how they would be just scheming over Trump because he seems to upset their apple cart, so to speak.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, he came in as a total surprise to the progressives, who thought that they were going to get a third term of Barack Obama by name of Hillary Clinton. And when they didn't get that, you know, they went into orbit. And so they've launched this basically a color revolution in the United States with the likes of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and, you know, all of these leaks within the government. So the first layer is leaking like a sieve, the secrets of our country. And, of course, they were led, and not surprisingly, by the likes of Hillary Clinton. And I've called Hillary Clinton very publicly what I call a Luciferian psychopath. And what I mean by that is that not necessarily does she worship Lucifer,
right,
but that Hillary Clinton, you know, once sees herself as almost godlike. And, you know, when you go into it and you study, you know, her background, you know, her mentor was Saul Alinsky, the author of Rules for Radical, a book he dedicated to Lucifer. You know, she worked for the most subversive law firm in the United States, off on the left coast, what most people call California. Her campaign manager was Tony Podesta. And, of course, Tony and his brother, or John Podesta and his brother Tony, were very much involved in occultic rituals, which are fairly well documented, and leaked on WikiLeaks. Even Hillary Clinton was associated with witches, according to Bill Clinton in the book by Larry Nichols, The Clinton Chronicles. You know, Bill Clinton talks about her going to Los Angeles frequently, meeting with what he called a group of women in a witch's church. I mean, the list just goes on and on that demonstrates that she has what I would call, you know, a godlike thinking about herself. Even her friend George Soros calls himself a god. But it's a psychopath piece that I think is really disturbing, because when you look at the characteristics of how Hillary Clinton has been described, someone like that, you know, has, you know, some of the characteristics are superficial charm, grandiose sense of self-worth, pathological lying, manipulative, lack of remorse, you know, emotional shallowness. And then you look at all these books that have been written about her, and it fits to a T, you know, the types of things that we've all seen in public. And then, you know, there are a couple of very significant studies on personality inventories that, you know, have characterized her as having a very, very high score when compared to other leaders as being psychopathic. So, you know, like I say, she's a Luciferian psychopath, a very dangerous person to put into positions of great power, and we should thank our Lord that she was not elected.
Yeah, absolutely. I cringe to think that of the path that we would be on, even just by now, a year later, that Hillary would have took us down. Talk about complete dictatorship. I believe that that completely. I think that, like my producer pointed out, she has what we call maybe a god complex, you know, thinking of herself as a god, like you say. And that's horrific. The miracle, and here we go back to that, you know, I believe that Trump won the election by overwhelming majority, meaning believing that a lot of the votes in the voting system were illegal votes, you know, that didn't even count. Have any thought about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we know, you know, that there are a lot of people, you know, especially illegal aliens, that have been pushed to vote. We've had all sorts of voting irregularities. How many, I have no idea. But the system that we have, as you well know, the Electoral College is how we, you know, our founders said we're going to really elect our government. our president. And so, you know, we elect electors who turn around and, you know, elect a president. And that's the system that we have right now. You know, I know the Democratic National Convention claims that Hillary got more votes. Okay. That may be true. I don't know. But I do believe that there are a lot of illegal votes that were cast in the last election.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I had another expert on here. We talked about that, and he actually found he believes that it's probably connected to this UN mandate that said that countries like America, we wouldn't replace our own populations because of low birth rates, that they should do that, keep the population up by migration. And refugees is what they pointed out, and I think that's it. I think they tried to replace a lot of our population with refugees in order to have people that would side with them. Any thought on that?
Yeah, I think that that's true. I certainly address that phenomenon. You know, the replacement population, whether it's in Europe or it's in this country, we are not doing that. We're not having enough children. And so the progressives see that open borders, one, helps their agenda because they hate borders and they love immigrants, and they would prefer, as Mr. Trump has said, you know, to give jobs not to American citizens, people that are legally here, but they would almost prefer to give it to foreigners that, you know, have no legal right to be here. And that should upset every American.
Right. Amen. But, you know, they've almost captured the youth, especially the youth on the coast. We're seeing that in the colleges and such that they won't even, that they're trying to do away technically with free speech. And two, that goes back to the Communist Manifesto that said that they would get to our educators, and then by getting to our educators, they would get to our children. And so you can see that much of this agenda in that manifesto. So what do you think about our youth? Is there any hope?
Yeah, the millennials are an interesting group because the education establishment has been captured by the progressives. And that's why I think, you know, Christian parents that have homeschooling and we have Christian schools and the like out there, because we're concerned about what our children are learning. They aren't learning, you know, the skills necessarily they need to, you know, provide for themselves and their families in the future. They're learning all these radical ideas that are tearing apart our country. And, you know, that's not by mistake. You know, you go back to the time of Dewey in the last century, fanned in part by the likes of the Rockefellers, who, of course, are longtime globalists. And they understood that the manipulation of the educational establishments, what we call public schools, is a great way of bringing the population under capture and then to manipulate it. So you manipulate what they're thinking as to what's right and wrong. Of course, you take God out of school, which they've accomplished that. And, of course, then you feed them the media pablum, which manipulates them as well as to, you know, what is going on in their world. The fake news, declarations that Mr. Trump has made are so very true today. And so when you're fighting against an establishment of progressives and globalists that manipulate and control both education and the media, that's quite an uphill battle, because especially for a Christian, it's totally anti-Christian and anti-national sovereignty and anti what America was initially founded on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said, very well put. Amen. Okay, I guess, Tom, I guess I ask you any final thoughts on your book that you want the people to know, but just in brief, I think that President Trump yesterday, when he named Israel, I think it's a good thing and a biblical thing that he named Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Do you think that put a thorn in their side?
Well, you know, everybody knows Jerusalem's been the capital of Israel for thousands of years. I kind of chuckle that the Palestinians could get all upset about that, but I understand politics as it is. Mr. Trump made a campaign promise, and he's falling through with it. Now, keep in mind, the last four Democratic presidential campaigns declared they were going to do exactly the same thing, and of course they never did. They didn't have the intestinal fortitude to do the right thing by our best ally in the world. So these are just unfortunate times that we live in. People need to understand the truth isn't always going to be proclaimed out there. We need to find someone like Mr. Trump who's willing to stand up against the odds.
Amen. Got a couple minutes. Any final thought on the book that you want to point out to people, or, you know?
Well, you know, if people want to understand, you know, I've spent a good part of the last 50 years working in and out of government. I've been at all levels, worked on Capitol Hill as a non-government organization, the Family Research Council, certainly within the Pentagon, still in the Pentagon as I speak. I explain how this three layers function. I've explained the background, the radical globalist agenda, and how, you know, it's very pervasive in the world. And, you know, I think it's a primer for people to kind of, oh, that's how things really work. And it's true. And it's unfortunate, but it's the nature of the world in which we live. And it gives people reason and real understanding to how to pray intelligently. And I think for Christians that's absolutely necessary, that they pray intelligently, but first they have to understand the intricacies of the challenges that are out there. And so I'd encourage people to, you know, this is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, bookstores all over. Defender Publishing, Tom Horn, and the good people there in Missouri are the publishers. And so I encourage anyone that's really interesting to go out and pursue it. And then join me on my Facebook page, Robert L. McGinnis, and you can see more about some of the other writings I've done.
Amen. Well, a couple of things, and I'll say goodbye. Number one, great job on the book, but I really like what you laid out in the chapter, Nehemiah's Call to Action. That's really a thumbs up. That's great for the people. That'll help them. I appreciate all that you've done, and it's not easy. It takes a real man with a belief that you have, or faith in our Savior, as you do, to have the courage to stand up and doing what you're doing. So I appreciate it, and I'll make sure that when this goes out to podcast, I'll include that Facebook link for you. And just thanks for being on, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and bless you.
All right. God bless you. Goodbye and shalom to you. Bye-bye, brother. Well, folks, the book is called The Deeper State, Inside the War on Trump by Corrupt Elites, Secret Societies, and the Builders of the Final Empire, and the Intimate Final Empire, which we know that Satan is going to indwell himself in the Antichrist, and that's what we're going to have. We are closer than you think, and you need to see this. We win in the finality by King Yeshua coming back and setting things straight. But until we do, this is what we have to deal with. But we all need to be like Nehemiah. We need to stand up. We need to be counted. And I say that to you folks every day. Christians, you need to stand up and be counted. It's time to stop being politically correct, because like the colonel just said, you need to look through a biblical worldview. You need to look at the world through that, not as a secondary thing, not by a book you read once in a while, but through a biblical worldview where there are two sides to every issue. One is a good side, which is a blessing, and the other is a bad side, which is a curse. And there is to everything. There's a blessing and a curse there. It's up to you to choose which path that you will choose. If you want to be educated, you want the veil lifted from your eyes, pray. Get a personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, and then start studying and reading some of these things and share them, because otherwise you'd be overwhelmed. You will be one of those that Yeshua's return will be like a thief in the night to you. But we are children of the light. We are children of the day. And by being children of the day, it shouldn't come upon you as a thief, but just to the world. And this is where we're at, and it's rolling over. Some of these things are not I don't know how they could be reversed, especially the age we're in. talking about taking over the millennials, the children, the educational system being taken over. You have NSA and shadow people that we don't even know who they are that are tracking every electronic movement there is. If you have a cell phone, it's over with. If you have a computer, they know about you. If you have a credit card, come on. It's just if the light is, they decide to shine it on you. If you haven't listened to the other program we did tonight, you will find more about the deep state with my interview with Pastor Carl Gallup and the revealing of some special things that he said, proof about Congress being controlled, about the justices maybe being controlled. You really need to go to that program that we did earlier tonight. Both of these programs go hand in hand. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. This is the slowest month for donations, and we haven't even – airtime was due on the 1st. We haven't even paid airtime yet. If you want us to keep these programs up, and we've got some new guests lined up for you, we need your help. Anyway, remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember what? We always need to remember. I don't know why you should have to remember, but remember, always be a blessing to others. It should come natural from you if you're saved. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. We love you, folks. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.